Welcome to the Exploring Washington State podcast. Here's your host, Scott Cowan.
Well, here I am today. I am with Jeanette and Liz of Seeking Kombucha. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi.
Thanks, Scott. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for getting on here. This is kind of, as always lately, impromptu, short, no planning, and let's just wing it type thing. So why don't you give our audience a brief overview of how you got started in kombucha and what you guys are doing now, and then I'll throw in questions as we go.
Yeah. So we got started because I have always had a lot of like stomach issues. Could never really digest things. And I was introduced to kombucha and started drinking it. And so it was helping my stomach, helping me like be able to process and eat more foods. But the more we started drinking it, the more we realized we started paying more attention to what was in these actual kombuchas we were buying. And it was a lot of like juice and sugar. And we were like, wait a minute, like, why is there so much juice and sugar and they're pasteurized? And then we decided to start making our own because we wanted to see what was going into our kombucha. So we use whole fruits to flavor instead of juice. And this is raw, natural kombucha. So that's kind of a little how we got started. Did I miss anything?
So how long has Seeking Kombucha been in business?
In business officially, it's been about almost two years.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
But we've been brewing for maybe like four or five years now.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I've got a lot of questions about this because my wife tried to brew some at home one time. And,
if you don't watch it sometimes.
I buy it from the store now. It just didn't work. So for health reasons, you got started and then you realized that not all kombuchas are maybe what you think you're buying when you're buying it. Yeah. And so you guys have kind of come up with this whole quality ingredients, knowing what's in it and all that. So that's awesome. I applaud you for that. That's, you know, it's very cool.
Yeah, we like to use a lot of the local farmers here, so we're supporting the community with that.
So you do source as much as you can reasonably from local farmers? Awesome. And yeah, I've got lots of questions, so this is just going to bounce around. We're going to land the plane, but it's going to be bumpy. So how long is it typically, when you're brewing it, how long is it? And then also, at what scale are you brewing kombucha? I mean, you're not just... Yeah, what size batches are these things?
So we do fairly small size batches. We have about like 30 gallons a batch.
That doesn't seem small.
That seems like a lot. I mean, compared to people who are doing like 200 gallon tanks,
yeah,
okay.
This is fairly small in okay. comparison. But it generally takes about 7 to 10 days for the first fermentation process.
Yeah.
Okay. And then after that, it'll go to a second stage of where we flavor that with fruits, herbs, and spices, and all that.
So the first stage is just raw fermentation, basically no flavorings. The varieties come in the second stage.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Cool. All right. And how long? I'm sorry, old brain, slow. How long was the second stage?
The second stage kind of varies, but generally about, what, two to three days. 2 to 3 days.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then you're bottling it off.
Yes.
Or I saw online you guys have kegs.
We do, yeah. Okay. So we do put it in kegs. So we're on tap at a few, like, breweries, cafes, and then also do have bottles for people to take home.
Yeah, I saw you've got, I kind of like your Instagram whole, the idea of, you know, showing it where you've been, you know, with the bottle and all of that. That's kind of cool. We'll go down that road in a little bit. So you guys are actually doing the actual bottling and kegging yourselves? You have all the equipment to keg stuff? I've always been fascinated by kegging. I don't know why.
It's an interesting process.
I'm sorry, what was that?
It's really simple.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. You've got to add some mystique to it. What's the secret? There's got to be some secret to it. Is it really? I mean, so how long does kombucha last in a keg if it's kept under pressure? It's got to be pressurized, or is it not?
So not necessarily, as long as it's kept like cold, okay. It should last a while. I mean, we've drank kombucha that's been like 3 months, 4 months sitting okay. in the fridge that is still good. Mm-hmm. It's just if you like, the colder you keep it, the longer it's going to, I guess, not ferment as fast, because kombucha continues to ferment no matter what.
Okay, so it does. It does continue to ferment in the bottle, if you will. Okay.
Yes. So as the colder you keep it, the slower the fermentation process will be.
Okay.
But if you leave it out on your counter, it's going to ferment a lot faster than if you were to stick it in your fridge.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very cool. So you mentioned you're in some local breweries. Drop names.
Yeah, the Growler Guys.
Lake City.
Mm-hmm. Edo's in, what is it, West Seattle? Bebop Waffle Shop, also in West Seattle.
Bebop Waffle Shop.
Yeah.
That's a cool name. I like that. Okay.
Also, women, LGBT owned business.
Awesome. Okay. Whereabouts in West Seattle is that? Not to plug them too much, but just out of curiosity. Is it in the Junction?
Which one?
We'll have to look this up.
You know, I'm terrible with directions.
Yeah, okay. I'm not really familiar with West Seattle very well.
Well, you can't get there because the bridge isn't warping anymore. So you've got to go to Burien around.
Yeah.
Quite a drive.
I don't know. I think it's on California Street.
California? Okay, so it's probably in the Junction area. California is one of the main drags that runs north-south through West Seattle. So I'm going to guess it's in the Junction. Okay. So in our emails back and forth, you made kind of reference, are you guys moving to a new production area? Did I read that correctly? Or
yeah. So we're moving to this new location, because right now we just rent a commercial kitchen space in West Seattle.
Okay.
So now we'll have our own kind of space to brew out of. And then it'll also be like the tap room where we'll have, like 10 different taps mm-hmm. of kombucha flavors along with a beer and cider tap.
Very cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And setting that up is easy, you know, because there's no red tape or any headache, you know, anything like that with, you know, the health department or liquor license or anything like that. It's just easy.
Yeah.
So I see also you guys do a lot of, you might not be doing as much right now, but you were doing a bunch of farmers markets. Is that kind of where you got started distributing your product? Did you go the farmers market route?
Yeah. I actually, friends and family were already buying our kombucha from us. And I wanted to just put a fun little logo on our bottles when they would come grab some booch from us. So I designed a quick little logo, started taking pictures of it, and made like an Instagram just for fun.
Sure.
South Lake Union Market actually reached out and was like, hey, I like your Instagram. Are you selling? Where are you selling at? Come sell at our market. So then we were like, wait, what's going on? And then we jumped right in. Then that season we ended up with like, 7 different markets. Yep.
So 7 different markets. Okay. So where were you that first year besides South Lake Union? I think I saw you were in Tacoma and Proctor.
This year.
Okay. How's the Proctor market for you?
It's great. We love it there. It's a great market.
Yeah.
Rain or shine, it's a great market.
Mm-hmm. Have you done Edmonds? Have you gone up to Edmonds at all?
No.
We haven't gone that far. We mostly did Lake City, Finney. Mm-hmm. We're at Capitol Hill year round. What's the other place? Magnolia, yeah. Fremont.
Did you say Capitol Hill?
You did. Yeah.
Nope. Year round.
Mm-hmm. Capitol Hill year round. Yeah.
Okay. Very cool. So is that been, how's your product been received at the farmer's market? I've got some friends that do stuff at the farmer. They've gotten started at the farmer's market and then they branched out into distribution, grocery stores and restaurants and things like that, different type of products. But How do you like doing the farmers markets? Do you like interacting with the people? I mean, I'm kind of a cranky old guy. I like to sit by myself, but I couldn't do it. They just seem like a great way for small businesses to get a low cost way of testing the market to see if it's going to work. Like if you decide to come up with some, I don't know, come up with some odd kombucha flavor combo, you know, beet and turnip or something. I don't know. And you could at least brew a small batch, try it at the farmer's market. And if they go, hey, this is great, you could take it off.
Have you guys
found that to be accurate for you too, that, you know, farmers markets are a good place to get exposure affordably?
Yeah, definitely. It's been definitely like a really good experience, I think. And just getting to know our customer base. Everyone's always so friendly there. Getting actually to know, like build a relationship with our customers there have been great. And then just having our face in the communities has been also helpful. People recognizing us, you know, and coming back, bringing their bottles. But I think the farmers market is definitely a great space for us. We like it.
Yeah. We love interacting with the customers. I mean, we have customers that'll tell us how their week's been, and just like how their our kombucha helped get them through the week or, it's great just talking to customers and just being like, hey, I'll see you next week.
There you go. And so you guys, do you have a lot of people bringing the bottles back to you?
Yeah.
You got a pretty good return rate on that.
Yeah.
I saw somewhere on one of your online profiles, something about you deliver and it's like the milkman. You set it out on the port. I just thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah.
A great way to recycle the bottles, instead of wasting more glass.
from a sanitation and all that, I mean, is it hard? What do you have to do? I mean, I always feel like the health department's always looking at it under a microscope, like, okay, you guys got to do all this. But like when you're recycling or not recycling, but cleaning up the bottles and all that, what do they require of you to do that so that they're quote unquote clean again?
Well, we do put it through,
like a 3-step process.
Yeah. So it goes through a heat, sanitized, really hot, dishwasher. Goes through there, gets the heat in there, sanitizes it essentially, and then we'll deep clean it into our soap, really good cleaning soap, then rinse and then sanitize.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
And so that's great that you're not going through 100% bottle. I mean, you can keep using them over again. That's awesome. So I don't want to ask this. I see you guys deliver, which I think is kind of funny. So I'm thinking like, can I, you know, I think it's funny in the sense like with Uber Eats and all that, now I can go get kombucha deliver type thing. But how's that working for you? Are people taking you up on the delivery options now? I mean, has that been well received?
Yeah, we just started redoing delivery because in the summer we were way too busy trying to manage the markets. So summers we generally hold off on deliveries just so we can keep up. And then the winter we just started reopening deliveries, and it's been going good because we noticed a lot of our regulars who would we normally see at the markets stop going to the markets and instead are doing delivery. Just as winter starts coming in, people don't want to go out as much, so makes it easier.
Well,
and I think that's really smart, though, that you give your clientele a different way of still getting your product. And I many of our episodes lately have all been about COVID and how we've quote unquote pivoted during COVID to survive and all that stuff. But offering delivery, I think, is a great alternative. Going back to the farmers markets once they opened up, is they probably aren't as busy as they were.
Yeah.
But I think you're making your loyal raving fans. They're the people that are going out and they appreciate you being at the market and being reliable and count, you know, that. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at some photographs, and so you're going to have to help me out. You didn't know this was coming, did you? No, I'm just kidding.
Surprise.
Surprise. No, this is really pretty simple. I am looking at some photographs of like, you have 6-pack of varieties going on here. Mm-hmm. And this is going to be the strangest question, but what's the blue one?
We get that a lot.
It's a spirulina, a blue spirulina.
Okay.
It's a blue thing, and it's a mango and what did we put in it?
A white tea.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, we do have a couple. Yeah. I think we have another flavor that's also blue too.
Yeah. We have another, like, we have two other blue ones.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So how many flavors do you typically have going at any given time? And do you rotate them out seasonally? Like, are there summer kombuchas and winter kombuchas or?
For the most part, just because, you know, farmers markets, so like seasonal fruits and all of that. But what we try to do is buy bulk as much as we can, if we do, and then freeze them or cut them and freeze them or buy frozen from the vendors, because some of them actually do that. They'll freeze whatever they have left over.
So we normally have about 5 flavors every week that we rotate every week.
Mm-hmm. So what are those? What are those 5 standard flavors that you have every week?
They vary because we.
Oh, come on now. What's you gotta have something on? You gotta have something that's the go to all the time.
We have like over 30 flavors, so we.
What? It's not like Baskin Robbins ice cream now. Come on.
Yeah, seriously. Like over 30 flavors, so we try to rotate as much as possible, especially for the summer when we're busy and doing markets. It's hard to get that all the flavors out there. I think one flavor that we typically keep every week would be Purple Rain, which is our more popular one.
Okay.
Yeah, that one's.
So what is Purple Rain? What's it got in it?
That one's a pea flower, lavender, and hibiscus. And it comes out nice and purple. That's nice.
Cool.
Generally our more sweeter flavor. So I think most like people who don't normally like kombucha tend to gravitate towards that flavor.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's the most popular, I believe.
Okay, so that's okay. You stole my question. I was going to ask what the most popular one was.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the go-to. That's the most popular one.
So that's the one that we would have almost every week.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The other 4 flavors do change. Like this week, we'll have the healer, which is turmeric, ginger, and rose hips.
Mm-hmm.
And then a hibiscus and ginger. And then mango and lychee.
Yeah.
Oh. So with the ginger, when I had a ginger cider the other day, and it was the ginger was overpowering. It was like, I like ginger, but it was like, boy, this is a lot of ginger here.
Yeah.
How? Because I think ginger can be pretty overpowering.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely.
How do you kind of, I don't want to say ensure, but I guess I can't think of another word, ensure that the ginger is not going to take over that flavor that you're putting together?
We don't juice our fruits or anything like that.
Okay.
So we use like whole things. But for, so I think juicing the ginger in general gives it more of a stronger taste.
The spicier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we have the organic dried ginger that we use.
It's dried ginger. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So we use our organic dried ginger. It just gives it, it doesn't give it much of a spice to it.
It's not too overpowering.
Yeah.
So we had to test it to make sure. So we have like the right measurements now where I think we know how much. Because I mean, we've made a few that were a little too spicy.
Yeah.
But we've kind of nailed down the ginger.
Yeah.
For the most part,
but it's just, everyone likes it different though. So like some people really want that really strong ginger taste or someone wants it more subtle. So we tried to go right in the middle where it's like, you can taste it, but it's not overpowering, but it's not, you know,
the cider was like, whoa, wow. So you've got over 30 flavors. I always like to put people on the spot. There has to have been some, you guys, one of you had to come up with this idea. Like, let's try this and this together. This sounds good. And it wasn't. So there must have been a failure along the way.
Oh, yeah.
I mean. So what was the flavor that you thought was going to be good that just didn't make it?
I try to make a medicinal one.
Okay.
And I put blueberries, burdock roots, marshmallow, and
elderberries, I think.
And elderberries. And it was,
it didn't taste good, but
like very sour and just like very medicinally that I was like, ooh, even for me, this is.
So how do you like your kombucha then? Do you like it on the, I'm going to guess you don't like it on the sweet side. You like it more.
Right in the middle.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think it depends on the flavor.
Yeah.
I'm more like, what am I in the mood for? Yeah. Kind of thing. Okay. So, I mean, cause I have some flavors that like our customers like it sweet, but I'm like, I'm going to let it sit and ferment longer to get it a little more spicier.
Yeah.
So going back to the whole, that it ferments in the bottle then. So if something, if you've got a combo that's kind of on the sweet side today, when you're delivering it to the farmer's market, mm-hmm. if I drank it today, it's going to be quote unquote sweet. Yeah. And if I let it sit out for a couple of days, the sweetness will go away then, correct? It'll become more.
Yeah. Tasting, I guess, sour, more sour.
Yeah. We want to encourage our customers to play around with it. Cause we do have customers that couples are like, I like it sweet. I like it tart. I'm like, well, you know, you can always get a sweeter one. If it's too sweet for your liking, leave it out on the counter, let it ferment for the day, burp the lid, to release some of the carbonation buildup, taste it to see if it's to your liking. If it is, then pop it back in your fridge.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So that's one of the benefits of not using juice, cause it's not going to go bad on your counter.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Good to know.
Yeah.
So what's your favorite? Of all of yours, I'm going to put you on the spot. You got to pick one. What's the one kombucha that you're going to?
It's probably our Raschi flavor. it's raspberry and lychee. And I came up with the name because I just blended the words together. She thought it was a terrible name.
Yeah.
But it's probably my favorite.
Okay. And Liz, what's yours?
I like the Midnight Oasis, which is mango, grapefruit peel, and pea flower. Okay. I like that one. It has a nice, like, the grapefruit peel adds a nice little, like, tanginess to it, but the mango has a little bit of sweetness. So I like that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. What about you? Do you like yours more tart, more sweet?
See, if I start sharing what kombuchas I've had, you'll probably just like hang up and disconnect because I'm going to what's the name of the one that's got the chia seeds in it that you see everywhere, you know, the gas station brand of kombucha that, you know, you can buy anywhere. So it's not, I never realized until just now that there would be a juice factor to it. So
maybe is it GTS?
No, I don't think
that's it. Yeah, I think that's one. I think that's one. Yeah. And I tend to probably go for the sweeter.
Sweeter.
I'm probably, yeah, I tend to go. I like ginger, but it's so, for me, it's like, it's either, oh, this is good to very, very small, good to very quick. Oh no, too much.
Yeah.
So I tend to go for the sweeter stuff. I'm going to ask Mackenzie, how about you? What kombucha do you like? Mackenzie makes her own kombucha.
Nice.
So,
okay.
So more on the tart side?
More tart.
More on the tart side, Mackenzie?
Yes.
Yes, more on the tart side. Yes.
Yeah.
So your tap room, are you partnering with a brewery for the beer? Or are you going to have rotating taps for that? What's the, tell us about this, I don't want to say soon, but you will be opening it because, folks, the tap room as of this recording is not open. We do not know when it will be open there. So when the tap room opens, yes. Are you working with a particular brewery? Are you going to have rotating handles? What are you guys going to do?
Yeah, our plan is to just have like a rotating tap that okay. we can, mm-hmm. you know, support other businesses.
I think that's awesome.
Like working with. So,
yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. There's a few people in the farmers markets that we've,
connected with
that we are most likely going to have possibly just to rotate for some of the beer taps that we're going to have. So,
okay. Yeah. And you're going to be doing both mocktails and alcoholic beverages? Or is that
So
phase two for the alcoholic beverages?
Well, the cocktail mixes right now is, I guess, on hold.
Okay.
We're waiting to get our permit for that.
Sure. Yeah. That's the whole.
But we're going to possibly do like beer or sangria mixes, wine or champagne, mimosas with our kombucha, stuff like that. Yeah.
I always, we do these so you can see each other and you're looking at my face. Nobody else can understand. Did you say wine?
Yeah.
In kombucha mix?
Yeah. Yeah. Because, there's a,
okay, please explain. Just explain.
Like a sangria type, you know, so we're like with the Pinot mixed with some kombucha and then add some fruits in it. So make it like a nice, like, sangria. So essentially, but like a kombucha sangria.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Or even like a kombucha mimosa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. With some champagne and a splash or a good splash of kombucha.
Really?
Yeah. It tastes pretty good.
Interesting. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll also have other fermented drinks because we make other fermented beverages. But
like what?
Well, we make tepache, June, turmeric soda, ginger beer. But just because it's just us right now, we mm-hmm. haven't had like the capacity to sell that at the markets. But since we'll be hiring some help, we'll be able to offer that to our customers. What?
That's very cool. So it's just, your company's just the two of you?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we do, okay. We do like 7 markets in the summer just between the both of us. And we also brew, do the deliveries. To our breweries that we have. It's pretty crazy and hectic in the summer.
But... When do you sleep? Or do you sleep?
In the summer times, not really.
Not so much.
Okay. Catching up. We catch on sleep in the winter.
Yeah. In the winter. Okay, hibernate. Yeah, okay. Jeez. I didn't realize it was just the two of you. That's.
Yeah.
We did hire some help this year to work at one of our markets.
Yeah.
But it was still very busy. Yeah. Very hectic.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So one of the things we always like to ask people is when you're not working and when you're not drinking kombucha and when you're living your life, where's a place in Washington State? You probably say Seattle and that's fine, but you know, in Washington State, where's a place that you like to go to get away from it all?
What's that? Waterfalls. I like going to
Twin Falls.
Yeah. I really like going to Twin Falls, sitting by the river.
Okay. Yeah,
just hanging out.
It's a very easy hike. that's why we like it.
We like easy hikes. Yeah. Easy hikes are good.
Yeah, but it's very beautiful. I mean, it's easy, but it's beautiful. But that's like the whole of Washington. Like, you just stop outside, and it's a beautiful scenery already. And that's why we fell in love with Washington. So,
yeah.
And where were you before?
California. Orange County. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a big difference. Okay.
Yeah. We would definitely go back and it'd be like, where's all the trees?
Yeah.
There's nothing.
Right. Yeah. But you had Disneyland.
Yeah. That's very true.
Yeah. The fake things at Disneyland.
All right. So where do you like to go to grab a bite to eat? What's a place that you like to go that's not, I always have to add the qualifier, like not a chain.
Yeah.
Not, you know, it's gotta be, you know, what was that?
I said Taco Time, but I was just kidding.
Well, it's a local chain. I'm just kidding. Yeah. If you said Taco Bell, we'd buzz you.
Yeah, right.
No,
that's true.
So.
Fogon is probably one of our go-tos. No matter what.
It's a nice little Mexican like restaurant in Capitol Hill.
But it tastes like homemade.
Yeah, it tastes like food. A home. Like you go into someone's house and they're cooking like a homemade meal for you. That's what it tastes like.
Really?
Made with gloves. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it tastes like.
I have yet to be disappointed by Fogon.
Yeah.
So part of the reason I run this podcast is so I can always get good ideas to go eat. So it's really, for me, that's this question is all about Scott. Like, where can you go? There's been some great suggestions. How about another place? Throw something else out.
Kati Vegan Thai. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Really good also.
It's vegan Thai food. But it's really good.
Yes. Is that on Capitol Hill or where's that at as well?
South Lake Union, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah,
okay. Mm-hmm. Mackenzie's giving me the thumbs up here in the corner. I think out of the corner of my eyes. So.
Yeah, really good. We're not vegans, but our food is phenomenal.
Okay.
Delicious. Yeah.
And let's see. Are you coffee drinkers? I mean, you moved to Seattle. Don't disappoint us.
We actually have a coffee place that we just found, Coffeeholic in Columbia City. And they have a really good, they call it a Coffeeholic Dream, which is has with Ube Drizzle. And it's really good. Yeah. Ube, do you know what Ube is?
No.
So what is, I guess it's like taro, essentially, kind of like taro, but sweeter. So purple potato. It's a Filipino food, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
I am not. interesting.
It's good though. Yeah, it's good. So that coffee place has it, and it's really good.
Okay.
It's Vietnamese coffee.
But... Yeah, Vietnamese coffee. Yeah.
There was a phase when Kenzie was in high school that I went through a Vietnamese coffee phase.
They're so good.
I didn't sleep very much.
Yeah. Those are really strong.
It's just. And what's funny about it, not to be a snob, but the coffee's actually, Vietnamese coffee is not the highest quality coffee if you're a coffee snob, but when you add it, when you do it right, oh my gosh. Delicious. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So let's just circle back though. 32 flavors. How did you guys start coming up with this? I mean, is there a giant kombucha recipe book on the internet that I'm not aware of? Or I mean, how on earth did you come up with that many flavors? That seems like a lot.
It is a lot. I mean, I think just like to experiment in general. I have a palette. I'm Filipino, so I have a palette of like, I want to use a lot of Filipino ingredients to introduce to, you know, the markets, because you don't really see much like that in kombucha, at least. Like even though like lychee that we use, we don't see a lot of lychee. We do, whenever we can find rambutan, we'll use that. I do, whenever we can get calamansi, which is like a Filipino lime, like a sweet lime. We'll try to use that into our kombucha as well. Just finding exotic fruits, I think, is a cool one for us.
Yeah.
So did you grow up in the Philippines? Or you?
No, I grew up here.
But you grew up in the States, but you, from a household that cooked Filipino food?
Yes, yeah.
Like, we had neighbors many, many years ago. We had neighbors that were Filipino, and they had us over for dinner one night, and it was just like... I had no clue what Filipino food was. Yeah. And it was like, wow, this is awesome. I mean, it was amazing.
Yeah, I know. I miss some home cooked Filipino food.
So have you found any Filipino places in the Seattle? Is there much?
Yeah, I mean, we got in touch with Jan Parker. She does her Filipino food in Tacoma at Proctor Market.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Really good Filipino food if you're ever in the Tacoma area.
down there once in a while.
Yeah.
Okay. And how about you from home? What do you miss?
I think same. I mean, those home cooked meals. I mean, we miss our family the most.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Do they come up to see you?
Sometimes. Yeah.
Have you convinced them to move up, or are they going to stay in Orange County?
Jeanette's family actually is pretty close to looking at houses over here, actually. So
yeah.
Okay. All right.
They're considering that.
Okay. All right. Well, Seattle housing prices. There we go. Yeah.
Well, it's not as bad as California.
Yeah.
No, it's really, we've done our best to catch up in the last few years. I mean, Seattle housing prices have gone crazy.
Right. So very true.
Well, why don't we wrap this up, and why don't you tell us what farmers markets are you currently at during the winter, since this is, we'll call this winter time, where can people find you to try out your kombuchas? And maybe tell us a little bit about ordering them online, because I saw we could do that as well. And I didn't touch on that during the interview per se. So why don't you share all that?
Yeah. You can find us at the Proctor Farmers Market in Tacoma
on Saturday.
On Saturdays. Mm-hmm. That is a year round market. I think coming up, it's going to be switching to once a month market. But as of right now, it's every Saturday, right?
I think so. Yeah.
And then Capitol Hill is every Sunday. Mm-hmm. And that's all year round. So we will be at Capitol Hill every Sunday. Mm-hmm. And then our delivery, we do offer free delivery with a minimum of $22. Basically Seattle, Bellevue, Kirkland area.
Yeah. Okay. then it gets kind of far for us to drive. But yeah, we do that. And then we're at On Tap for, I mean, we've, I think we've mentioned some places already, On Tap.
Well, that's awesome. Congratulations on making it for your first couple of years. That's, I applaud anybody who, Actually, I didn't ask you, what did you do before you started making kombucha? What were you doing for livelihoods?
So me, I was in management. So back in California, I managed a pizza parlor, I guess.
Okay. All right.
It's called Pyology. I managed that. And then I moved to the supplement industry to be management in the supplement industry. So Vitamin Shoppe back in California. And then I transferred over here to Super Supplements. As you guys know it here.
is that the same company?
Yes. I think Vitamin Shoppe actually bought out Super Supplements.
Cause I see Vitamin Shoppe and I've seen them look in Washington State. It's almost like the branding is confusing. So I was wondering. Right.
Yeah. Management and Jeanette.
And I was a finance director, so I do accounting, which is why I do mostly of the bookkeeping. She does hands-on.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've got the back of the house stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good. It's important. You got to have that stuff to stay afloat.
Yeah.
But no, seriously, congratulations. Yeah. I mean, I love it. I love talking to people that have taken the leap and gotten away. Nothing wrong with corporate America. But just, if you want to do something and you found something that's helped you and you believe in it enough that you go, I'm going to do this and see if I can help others. And I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
That's a goal. Once we have our tap house open, I want to offer classes, for people to start their businesses. Cause I mean, I've started quite a few other businesses that I've sold, so I want to help others because I know I sometimes struggled, I don't know what kind of permit licensing, where to go for help. So we do want to offer that.
I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Our tap house, we wanted to have do how-to videos, or not videos, but I guess videos now because of COVID, but we wanted to hold how-to classes in our tap house on just basic stuff, what she said, how to start your business or how to brew kombucha, or just, little how to's here and there that we can
using us as resources.
Yes.
When, some people don't have no one else to turn to, we encourage people to ask us questions, ask us for help. Cause that's the main goal. I mean, we originally wanted to get a bigger space than what we're getting now. To make it more of a community place for people to come hang out, to ask questions, to learn. So that's, I guess, the end goal.
that's awesome. I mean, no, because you want to start a business and there is no, I don't want to say, there is no real clear roadmap as to what permit do you need to do this, or do you need a permit? And it depends municipality. Like in Tacoma, you've got to have a business permit to run a business out of your house, for example. Mm-hmm. If you do that, you have to have a fire extinguisher in your house. I mean, I know this because I had to get that. And it was not that it's bad. You just don't know. Oh, I didn't know I needed a fire extinguisher, And so it's daunting for a lot of people to make that jump. Mm-hmm. And that's awesome. You guys want to help other people. I think that's great. So, again, thank you for hopping on. I'm going to put some show notes when we publish this, I'll put some show notes with links for people to find you, how to find you and all that. And then, but thanks for being on. And this is a lot of fun.
Yeah, thank you for having us. Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Anytime. Okay. All right. Well, we're going to sign off, everyone. Thanks for listening. Take care.
Join us next time for another episode of the Exploring Washington State podcast.